Okay, are you guys ready to dig into the next session? Well, you guys, this session just really, I believe, is pivotal. If we are going to protect and guard our homes, we have got to know our enemy. This key is absolutely necessary. Yes, know your enemy. You have an enemy. And you may say, well, Cindy, I'm pretty aware of that. But the question is, do you know your enemy? You know who he is? Do you know what he's about? Do you know how he works? My sweet friend, your enemy is not your husband. Your enemy's not your children. It's not your mama. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not even the other woman. Soak that in. You have a very real enemy. He hates you. He is out to destroy you. He is out to destroy your home. You have got to know your enemy. You've got to know who he is. You've got to know his tactics. You've got to know his tools. You've got to know his attacks when you see them. He hates you. He's out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your home, your legacy. You must know your enemy. You must know who he is, his tactics, his tools, his attacks. You cannot win if you don't even know what's hitting you. You can't win if you don't know that there's a real battle going on. And yes, my sweet friend, this is a battle. Your castle is under fire. You cannot win if you don't know that you have an enemy, if you just ignore that you have an enemy. If you don't know who he is and you don't know what he's about, you don't know his tactics, you don't know his tools, my sweet friend, it's going to be hard for you to guard your home. We don't just get a godly home, a godly castle, a godly marriage, a godly family by default. Because not only first are we battling our own flesh, but we have an enemy that is assailing, that is assaulting our castle. He is firing against our home, our marriage, our family at all times. You can't win if you don't know who he is. You can't win if you don't know your enemy, that he is, yes, that there is an enemy. And who he is and who he is not, that's very important. That's what this session's about. What he wants, what he's all about, his tactics, what you have to defeat him, methods, armor, equipment, tools, and support. Do you want to fight the good fight? You want victory that is yours? Are you tired of living in defeat? Are you sick and tired of what he's been doing to your home, your family, your marriage? My sweet friend, are you ready to live a victorious life? Well, you're going to have to know your enemy. That brings me to the first point, that there is an enemy. Can I tell you that nobody, no one gets out of warfare? No one. Not the saved or unsaved. Not the preachers or the congregation. Not the godly or ungodly. The good or the bad. We have a mentality in the church today, in our culture today, that leads us straight to the shackles in the enemy's camp. We have that mentality that if we are a good girl or a good boy, that we won't get hit. Well, you know, this is the weakness of the church today. Is that anywhere in Scripture? Absolutely not. Scripture's filled with examples of battle and how to fight the good fight. I remember when I was a little girl thinking, oh my goodness, why is it that that the Bible talks so much about battling and about fighting? That just sounded like boy stuff. Until I grew up and I realized there's a lot of information on how we can win our battles in our daily life, how we can fight the good fight. Now, I adore those passages of Scripture. I don't think they're just for the boys now. Scripture's filled with examples of battles and how to fight the good fight. It's not in there by chance. It's there to show us that even the good guys, even the good gals, are going to encounter battle. We're going to find that somewhere along the path we're under fire. And anybody who tells us that once we're a Christian, we won't ever have to go through tough times again, anybody that has the nerve to teach that, they're in error. They're in a pot. That is completely unbiblical. It is error. And I believe it's what will lead us to captivity. My sweet friend, you are called to fight. To fight the good fight. It's so important that Jesus tells us over and over the keys to victory. You've probably seen it. The biggest key being love, truth, knowing God. Even Paul teaches us over and over again that there are going to be tough times, and he admonishes us to put on the full armor of God. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But to know the wiles, the ways of the devil. Why? Why would he tell us that? Because our real enemy is the devil. We'll come back to that in a moment. Paul wrote over and over about how to stand firm, how to cast down the enemy's lies, how to stay in the army of God, the team, how to fight together with each other against the enemy, not with fighting with each other, as I call it, fighting in the foxhole or having friendly fire. No. God does not want us fighting in the foxhole. He does not want friendly fire. He wants us to stay focused and to be hitting the enemy. Over and over again, Paul taught those truths. He taught us how to know our enemy, how to fight the good fight. You know, even in other books of the Bible, we learn the same things. Even in Revelation, it tells us about the end times, which I believe we are living in today, and exactly how the enemy is going to hit us. And yes, that means that he is going to hit us. Why would God have so much emphasis directed to all of us if we could be exempted? Well, would he give us his ultimate field manual if he didn't want us to have total victory? Why would he remind us over and over that we're a victor? A victor. A victor is someone who is in a battle. A person who is facing an obstacle. Hello? Why would he tell us again and again that we're a victor, that we are more than an overcomer? An overcomer has something to overcome. Hello? Why would he tell us that we are never defeated, that the enemy is defeated? If there were not an enemy who wants to destroy us, yes, anyone who teaches us anything other than the fact that we have an enemy is unbiblical. Yes. You have an enemy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ransack your castle. He wants to defeat you. He wants to destroy your home, your family, your marriage. He has an entire host with him with the specific purpose of stealing and killing, destroying, lying to us, lying about us. You don't get out of this one by being good, by avoiding it. And by the way, I mention avoiding it because I know way too many people who absolutely will not step up to the call that God has on their life because they're thinking if they just kind of blend in, go with the flow, that the devil won't hit them. By the way, I just want to mention to you, even if you served the devil, Satanists, think about this, Satanists are not immune from the devil's hits. Let me tell you, he's no respecter of persons. You can't avoid him hitting because just by virtue of the fact that we are created by God and we're the delight of our Heavenly Father, that we are His treasures, just by that alone, the enemy hates us. He will do anything to destroy us. And he has no partiality, regardless if we avoid what we are called to do or not. He's out to destroy. We can't avoid him hitting us. We don't get out of it by being good, not by avoiding it, not by quitting. Do you know, even if we quit something, he's not happy with that. He wants to take us further and further deep down into that pit. Have you ever noticed it? Yeah. You know, we can't quit, go AWOL, and the enemy be happy. That's not going to make him happy. We can't lay down or hide. I'm going to just tell you, the enemy's never happy with that. In fact, these are the exact ways for us to get isolated and find the enemy and his goons going after us, beating us in a dark alley. I'm telling you, this is a good way to pull aside and be in a position where they can literally turn our lives inside out, upside down. The enemy is ruthless. He doesn't pull any punches. He has no ethics, no morality. There's no Geneva Convention with this enemy. I'm just going to tell you, he doesn't follow it. You've got to know this, or you're going to live defeated. You've got to know this, or I'm going to tell you, you'll let your guard down, and he will be in your home, in your family, in your marriage, totally destroying everything that you love. You've got to know this. Today's the day to get back up, get in training, and learn how to fight the good fight. Yes, you've got to know that you do have an enemy, that there is an enemy. It brings me to the second thing. You've got to know who he is. Oh, yeah. Before we do, let's get down to who he's not. Can I tell you that, first of all, God is not your enemy. God is not your enemy. I'm going to come back to this. Your spouse is not your enemy. No. Your spouse is not your enemy. Get a good look at your sweet spouse. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your children are not your enemy. I don't care what you see them do, they're not your enemy. Your daddy's not your enemy. Your mama's not your enemy. Your siblings are not your enemy. Your extended family is not your enemy. Your friends are not your enemy. Your pastor's not your enemy. Your church members are not your enemy. Your business competitors are not your enemy. Even if you call them your foes are not your enemy. So who is? Well, let's look at this passage. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible and the Message Bible. And this is one that's really worth copying into your journal. So you may want to look it up on Bible Gateway and copy this one into your journal. Listen to this. It says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destructions of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Let me read that passage in the Message. It says, "The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing and manipulation, but they are for demolishing," listen to this, "demolishing that entirely massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of a life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity." Is that good or what? My sweet friend, Satan, he wants for us to think that our enemy is our spouse, or our enemy is that child, or our enemy is our mother-in-law, or our enemy is our mother. What are on and on and on. He wants for us to think that the enemy that we, or the person that we see right there doing whatever it is that we see them doing, that they are our enemy. But can I tell you that this is the biggest error? It's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants for us to attack those that we see. He loves friendly fire. He loves to see us fighting in the foxhole. Because we lose our vision. We lose our focus. And when we do, we lose the battle. Listen to this passage. It says in Mark 3:25 that if a house is divided, split into factions and rebelling against itself, that house will not be able to last. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. The devil loves to come in and to divide our homes, our families. He wants for us to think that what we see before us is our enemy, whether it's our husband, our children, our family, our in-laws, our parents. He wants broken relationships. Think about this. Spiritual warfare is a lot like a matador fighting a bull. The bull could easily take the matador in a second. Think about it. These huge bulls. If, as a matter of fact, it'd be nice for you to even maybe pull up a video and watch a fight. Just watch it. It's amazing. The bull is exponentially larger and heavier and better equipped to fight that fight. However, the matador has a strategy that brings him victory over this huge, strong, massive beast. It makes for a great study. But today, just think of the strategy of distraction and confusion. Think about it. Distraction and confusion are the matador's key strategy against the bull. Distraction and confusion to the point that the bull gets tired and weary and succumbs to defeat. I'm talking about, think about this massive beast that is succumbing to defeat. Have you ever thought about it? Stop and think for a few moments. You're probably like me. The first thing you think of is the red cloth. While that is not the only thing that wears down this great beast, it is a huge part of the battle. Yes, you got to know, this poor animal is studied very in depth. The bullfight is certainly not haphazard. It's very skillful. It's very planned out. The bullfighter plays for victory, often victory to the death of the bull. Do you realize that? You've probably seen the show. The matador steps out in his gorgeous, ornate clothing. Wikipedia describes him as both an artist and an athlete, possessing great agility, grace, and coordination. The matador's patient. He even knows exactly the direction that the bull is going to charge from because he studied that bull intensely. He knows just what it takes to wear the bull down. He knows exactly how to defeat the bull. The most interesting strategy that I see is his red cloth. He holds out the red cloth, and this magnificent beast charges it over and over, each charge wearing itself down and missing the real enemy. The bull's focus is upon the distraction. The bull's focus is upon the cloth, not the real enemy. The bull could take the enemy immediately with one good hard blow if the bull knew his real enemy. And my sweet friend, this is a perfect picture of what the enemy does with us. We have a very real enemy. We have an enemy who's even more cunning than the brightest, most cunning matador. He studies us. He knows our typical mode of attack. He knows what will distract us. He knows what will frustrate us, what will get us out of focus. He knows what will confuse us. He will do anything to keep us distracted, wore down, and he'll hit us where we least expect it. And he'll work on us until we think we are defeated. And by the way, I just want you to know, when I say when we think we're defeated, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I have very good news for you today. It may be something you just need to hear. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. You are more than an overcomer. You are not defeated. Even if today you're laying down in the midst of rubbish, your home is a wreck, can I tell you that you are not defeated? God has already paid the price for your victory. Can anybody shout? The kicker is the enemy wants to convince you that you're defeated because he knows that if he can convince you that you are defeated, he can distract you. He can keep you wore down to a frazzle. He wants to wear you down. He wants to wear down your joy. He wants to wear down your strength. You've got to know who you are. And we're going to have the next session that's going to talk about that, so that you can stand against the wiles, the ways, the devices, the manners, the strategies of the enemy. You've got to know your enemy. Turn to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. In fact, this whole passage is amazing. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Look at this passage again in the Amplified. I like it. It is good. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Is this good or what? Do you know that you have the same power inside of you that resurrected Jesus from the dead? Yes, that Holy Spirit power. We're going to talk more about that in a couple sessions, but you are empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all of the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly, supernatural sphere. My sweet friend, God gives us everything we need to fight the good fight, to be victorious, to be overcomers. He gives us everything we need to be successful and victorious. But note here, he's specific about who our enemy is. Did you hear it in this passage? He specifically named him. When you're hit with your money, can I tell you that Satan is the thief who's hitting you? When your health is attacked, Satan is the one who's busy at work. When your emotions are attacked, my sweet friend, Satan is the real culprit. When you're dealing with personal problems with people, even in your marriage, your enemy is not the flesh and blood that you are seeing, the red cloth. Rather, the enemy is Satan. Dear friends, Satan knows you and he has studied you. He knows your tactics and your natural tendencies. That's why he hits you where it hurts you. He knows exactly where to stab you. He knows exactly how to hit you. Look at the direction that it's really coming from. It comes from a very real enemy who is hitting at whatever means the most to you, whatever gives you strength to fight that good fight. Can I ask you today to think back over the last few battles that you faced spiritually? Maybe you're in a huge battle today. Let's look at it close. Is there a distraction? A red cloth? You must know your enemy to be able to fight the good fight. Is your real enemy distracting you? Let's get personal. You made a commitment this year to take back ground on your finances. Your goal was to get out of debt. Your spouse is even committed to help you reach this impossible looking goal. You have a vision. You've gotten busy working hard to get out of debt. Then what happens? Red flag, your car breaks. You attack that one. Red flag, the kids get a mysterious fever. You charge that direction and swat at that one. Red flag, The paycheck is less than you expected and an extra bill comes in. You charge that direction. But you're thinking as you run to swat at that one, why is God doing this to me? Bingo! Stop there. God is not your enemy. He begins in Genesis and ends in Revelations, telling us that he has great plans to bless you and I. That's his heart. You've got to know who God is. I mean, you've got to know his attributes. Who is he? He's spirit. He's holy. He's never been touched by sin. He cannot sin, sweet friends. So he can't bring sin into your life. He's eternal. He's always existed. He's infinite, without limits, except when he has limited himself by his word. He's omnipresent everywhere at once. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipotent, almighty. He's truth. He never, ever lies. He cannot be a part of the lie in your life. He is just. He's 100% just in every action that he has with us. He's 100% fair. He's righteous, meaning that he is totally good. He is not just alive, he is life. He's unchangeable. He is sovereign. That means he is the absolute supreme ruler. His sovereignty is in complete harmony with all of his attributes. He never ever steps out of character in any of his attributes. He cannot change. He is love. He's faithful, absolutely trustworthy. He's merciful, beyond human comprehension. He is provident. He watches over and he cares for all of his creation. My sweet friend, you've got to get to know him. You know, God cannot do evil to you. You've got to know that. He's holy. He cannot do any evil. Soak it in. He cannot even behold evil. In fact, Scripture tells us time and time again that he cannot look upon evil. Now, I know that there are people that have doctrines, and by the way, these doctrines are unbiblical. But there are people that have doctrines. Total denominations are built around the fact that since God created all things, that he created evil. Now I want you to hold on there for a minute. This is the very thought that 2 Corinthians 10 tells us must be cast down, or the enemy's going to use it to set up a stronghold and take you captive. Again, let's look back at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. It says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch," now pay attention here, "we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing." In fact, some doctrines are, especially when they're not based on the Scripture, "that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete." This thought that pops in our mind is an accusation against God from Satan. It's not a truth about God. Where in Scripture does it say that God will zap you when you obey him? That's just not true. God is a loving, holy, patient, loving, kind father. Your earthly father may zap you and test you when you obey, but that is not the character of God. God helps you. God delivers you. God brings you through. God only asks for your obedience. When these things happen, we need to be clear on what's happening. You need to know truth so that you can be a mighty warrior. You cannot be a mighty warrior if you don't even know your enemy. And when you don't even know your team, when you don't even know your commander, when you don't even know that you can trust your commander. You know, a while back, I was experiencing tremendous spiritual attack on my ministry. It was on every hand. We were doing a big, big thing, and the enemy was coming against me and my ministry with big, big blows. I was getting tired and weary, wondering if I had really heard God, wondering if I was doing something wrong. Note, these thoughts are sure signs the enemy's hitting you. God's not mysterious. God does not keep your sins a secret until you figure things out. God is straightforward. He is clear. He's simple. You know, even before you do things that you should or should not do things, there's no secrets. God is clear. You cannot ever say that you do not know whether you should or should not do things. None of us is with that excuse. No one. You know, Romans 1 through 2, well, the whole book of Romans, all throughout the Bible, he told people, go and sin no more. And he told them specifically what to get rid of in their lives and homes. He doesn't give you a problem to hint at your sinfulness. You know, he is very straightforward. He leads clearly. He leads gently. Anything else comes from the enemy. Now back to my story. I had a crazy dream one night during that time. I have had only a few dreams like this in my life, but this one was completely prophetic. I dreamed that I was hosting a conference in my home, and I was hosting an online conference at that time, as a matter of fact, one of my biggest conferences. I dreamed that all my dear friends were coming in, and they were. And as we were sharing with them, visiting with them, and teaching with them, there was a snarling little tricky devil going around and putting shackles on their feet. I saw what he was doing, yet as soon as I could set one friend free, he was working fast to get the shackles back on them and on others just as fast as he could. Of course, they had to let him do it. I was working hard, yet he was wearing me down. Now, I had two lessons from this dream. For me, this battle was not for Cindy. This battle was for God. I would get too tired doing this one myself. I needed God setting a perimeter and building a hedge around us, fortifying us, so that we could learn from God without any attack from the enemy. And that's exactly what I did. We had one of the most successful events ever. And there was another lesson. It was for others. This is exactly how the enemy comes in and tries to work among us. Scripture even tells us that when the sower sows the seed, the enemy gets busy trying to steal the seed and keep it from being planted deep. That's so that it will affect change. He knows if it gets in there deep, it's going to bring a harvest. And oh, the people that it will feed. So he doesn't want it to get planted deep. He sure doesn't want it growing. And the devil loves to come into our midst, whether that's in our churches, our seminars, our ladies' groups, our friendships, or our families, our homes, our castles. And he loves to take captives. He doesn't want for us to help one another. He will do everything he can to destroy. These are his tactics, my sweet friend. This part was for the event and for our ministry ever since that time. Now, this is the part of the dream that's for you. You've got to know your enemy and his tactics, his weapons. Otherwise, you're going to easily be taken captive and you're going to be kept captive. One of his key tactics is to confuse us about who God is and what God does. If he can do this, he can shackle us and keep us from living a victorious life. I had another dream regarding this. Maybe it was reading too many books on special forces or thinking too much about spiritual warfare, but this is a good one. I dreamed of a POW in the enemy's camp, and I dreamed that our terrorist, the devil, and how he operates. Do you know that he's not even very keen? He's not even as keen as those who take prisoners of war in our battles here on earth. He can't be. He can't keep us because God's already paid the ransom for us to be free. Christians don't have to be captive. They can get up at any time and walk out of the enemy's camp. And that's any area of captivity. Salvation, relationships, finances, health, past mistakes, depression, on and on and on. But the picture God gave me in the dream is of Christians who have the key, and yet they sit right smack dab in the middle of the enemy's camp, powerless, and wondering why God doesn't just take them out and help them. When he's holding their hand, he's tugging at them to come and follow him. They won't use that key that's in their hand to get free. They won't get up and walk out of the enemy's camp. There's nothing keeping them there but themselves. There aren't even walls holding them in because God has knocked down all the walls. They just won't walk out. You know, my son is a Green Beret and he's in Special Forces. And one of the things that he shared is that in their training, they have learned that when they go in to rescue the captive, there is a procedure they have. They have to put the hoods on their faces and basically take them out just as if they were still prisoners and rush them on out. And they don't even begin debriefing or let them know they're free until they are away from the enemy's camp. Because if they were to tell them, come on, you're free, come along with me, the prisoners would not get up and go with them. They would be afraid. They would think that this was a trick. You know what? I think we're like this. I think that there's something in us that makes us listen to the enemy and his taunts, his lies that he spreads, his fear that he plants into us. And we listen to him and we don't get up and get moving and get free from the mess, get out of his camp, get away from his terror. You know, this dream that I had, in this dream, I saw that we don't just get up and walk out like we should, like we could. Sure, some try, but if they do, the enemy sees them, and he has a way of trying to get them to just sit back down, to quit. You know, in the dream, I could see that God still was keeping a hold onto them, trying to get them to get up and get moving, but they won't. Even when they get moving, and when they feel the enemy in pursuit, like the Pharaoh with Moses, they get scared and they stop or they want to quit and go back. Are you seeing the application of this dream? I woke up and immediately knew that this is how so many of us stay captive and lose the fight that is already determined. It's already determined that we will be victors. We already are victorious. And yet this is how we stay captive in spite of who we are, victors, more than conquerors, mighty warriors. Sweet friend, we need to know that God wants us out of captivity. He wants mighty warriors. He doesn't want us to sit in the enemy's camp, powerless and weak and weary, listening to the enemy's lies and deceits. He wants for us to bust out of the enemy's camp and to take others with us. Yes, he wants us to rescue captives, but we must first know who the real enemy is. We must trust God and follow him out of the enemy's camp. Of course, the enemy's going to throw out lies about the Lord. Of course, he wants to confuse you about who's hitting you. He loves nothing more than when God's mighty warriors turn their back on the great commander. We should never speak. The enemy wants us to think that God has called us to an impossible task, or that he's left us alone, or he's got us into something we don't want to be involved in. My sweet friend, we've got to know that that is the enemy talking. It is not God talking. The enemy's going to throw out darts and grenades and shots in the form of our thoughts. He delights in hitting you where you think you cannot defend yourself. And of course, remember, God has given you all you need for victory. He's given us everything we need. He's given us armor. He's given us weapons. He's given us everything we need to fortify against the attack of the enemy. We can defeat the enemy, but we've got to first know our enemy. So first thing, we need to know who our enemy is. Our enemy is not God. No, our enemy is not God. In fact, God is there to bring you to victory. My sweet friend, trust him. Trust him. Don't let the enemy lie to you another second. Your enemy is not God. Also, your enemy is not your spouse. No. You know, several years ago, I read an illustration in a book that just really, really has never left me. And it was a book by Barbara and Dennis Rainey. It was one of their devotionals that they have. Harold and I, at the time we were rebuilding our marriage, every morning we would have breakfast and then we would have a devotional of theirs that we would read over our breakfast and we would discuss it. In one of them, I guess it was just one of these devotionals that would forever change my life because it was very convicting. It was talking about that we as a couple are good soldiers. We're fighting the fight together. In other words, we are defending our castles from the attack of the enemy. And I was reading that devotional, it talked about how that so many couples fight in the foxhole and they use their weapons against one another instead of using it against the enemy and fighting the good fight. I will never, ever be the same after seeing that illustration. I could envision in my mind all these movies that Matthew always had me watching with wars. And I mean, I watched so many of them. But I could envision being in the foxhole together and then pulling out the grenades and throwing the grenades at each other or shooting at each other. That is exactly what the enemy would love for us to do. You know, going back to that scripture from Mark 3:25, and if a house is divided, split into factions, and rebelling against itself, that house will not be able to stand. That house will not be able to last. Listen to it again in the New American Standard Bible. It says, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. My sweet friends, we cannot fight the good fight against the enemy when we're fighting each other. When we're wounding each other, when we're taking each other out, there's nothing quite like fighting in the foxhole. And you know, you guys, I have to confess, I have been guilty of this myself. The enemy loves it. See, all he has to do is just like with that bull, take that red cloth and that red cloth could be my husband he's dangling in front of me. And instead of going for the devil, I'm going for my husband. Oh, I've done it. I've used all the weapons that God's given me. The Word, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can sling the Bible like you have never seen anybody sling the Bible. The bad thing is when I've slung it and hit my husband and hurt him instead of the devil. You know, that's just pure painful. There's nothing worse for the Word's sake. There's nothing worse for our relationship than for me to sling words from the Bible at my husband. Does anybody know what I'm saying here? I can't tell you the number of times I have used my call as a helper for my husband to work against my husband. And I'm just confessing this. Thank goodness I can't think of any time lately I've done any of these things. But the devil has played a lot of tricks on me through the years to where I would use the very things that God has given me as a gift, as a weapon, to battle against the enemy, and the devil would convince me that my enemy was Harold instead of him. He'd hold Harold out there. Kind of reminds me of, he kind of plays like a lot of times, you remember when you were a kid and little boys would kind of be cantankerous and they would come up and they would tap you on the shoulder or they'd pull your hair and then they'd duck out of the way and make it look like it was somebody else. Well, the devil loves to do that. And he loves to do it whenever he can get us fighting against our spouses. The Word's very specific. If we aren't in harmony, if we're not walking as one, if we're not walking in intimacy and oneness, God, our prayers hit the ceiling. The devil knows that. He knows how to defeat us. And so, my friend, today you need to know that your enemy's not your spouse. It's the devil. He's the one tapping on your back. He's the one pulling your hair. He's the one holding out your husband as your distraction. You need to know who your real enemy is, and he's the one you take down. Also, it's not your child. No, 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 no. Oh, man. You know, I'm just going to tell you that probably the worst teaching I guess I've ever heard was actually at a homeschool conference, and I was keynote with another male teacher, and I always loved his stuff, and his stuff really had helped me through the years to minister to my children until I heard him live. And I want to tell you guys, I was really concerned about some of the things I heard him say. I taught a session on ministering to the heart of your children, and I made a, I had a whole session, a whole section of that session that was on ministering to the heart of your teenager. And in that, I mentioned several things. And one of the things, I heard him get back up in the pulpit right after me and basically debunk, was when I said, you need to choose your battles. You guys, I cannot tell you how essential it is to respect your children, to choose your battles. You know, when he got up in, back in the pulpit, he said that if you had to choose your battles with your children, then you already have a problem with your child. And he continued to talk about how that those children that were battling with you needed to be basically kicked out of the home. And I mean, he just kind of went on and on. And I was thinking, oh my heavens, my sweet friend, your children are not your enemies. And there are going to be times where the devil's going to hold them or what they do out to you at, just like that matador holds that red flag out there. And it's going to be things that you hate to see your children do. It's going to be things you hate to see their them choose. But it, that's not the time you walk out on them. That's not the time that you come at them full force with the word, banging them on the head. And in fact, that's the time they need grace. Grace. I love this one song by Matthew West. And in fact, I'm putting the video from of this song on the membership site. Go take a peek at it. But there's only grace. You know, the minute that any of us make a mistake, we ought to be free inside of our homes to be able to get back up and get going again. And we ought not be shot down by our mom or by the dad or by another family member, mother-in-law, father-in-law, whatever it is. We should not be in fear that somebody's going to come and shoot us down with the word of God and put condemnation on us. In fact, the Bible even says, God himself says in Romans 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this stuff that the enemy wants us to spew out on each other is just going to destroy our home. It's going to leave our relationships in shambles. We don't use the word. We don't use our positions to fight inside the home. Enough of that. You know, if you are hearing anybody out there who's telling you to fight inside the home against those inside your home, you really need to take their teaching back to the Bible, because you're not going to see God telling you to do all this stuff. You're not going to tell him. God is not going to tell you to quit your children. He's not going to tell you to fight in that foxhole. As a matter of fact, if a house is divided against itself, split into factions, and rebelling against itself, that house will not be able to last. And I know how they try to twist the scripture to say, well, if your child's rebelling, you're going to have to get them out because it's, your home's not going to last. No, 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 no. You want to cause a child to rebel and go a different direction? You kick them out. I just look at it and I think, you know what? You're not finished. You're not finished. You've got to be there. You got to love them and mentor them. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Shall I go on and on? You know, the enemy wants to tell us that if they don't do things our way, if they don't stick by our rules, and he loves to see us have rules, doesn't he? That there's a fight that needs to be taking place. See, what he's doing is he's holding them out. He's trying to get your eyes off of what he's doing so that you can't fight the good fight. Your enemy's not your child. Your enemy's not your mother or your father or your mother-in-law. You know, I've recently moved into that position as a, of course, a mother of an adult of adult children, and a mother-in-law. It kind of kills me even when I say the mother-in-law as an example. But I remember I remember when I was younger how difficult it was to adjust in my relationship with my mother-in-law. Now she's one of my best friends, and I'm thankful for that. My father-in-law, I adore him, but there were times where the enemy wanted to hold them up as my enemy. He wanted nothing more than for me to attack them, for me to hurt them, for me to fight against them, to pull against them, to fortify against them, to keep them out of our castle. He wanted nothing more than that. And can I tell you that he was holding them out just like the matador holds that red cloth, because he wants for us to attack. Your enemy is not your mother. It's not your father. It's not your mother-in-law, your father-in-law. It's not your siblings or your friends or your fellow Christian. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Scripture says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." My sweet friend, you have a very real enemy. He is out to destroy you. You've got to know that. You've got to be on guard. So, how can you know your enemy? How can you get to know him and how to deal with him when your castle's under fire? Let me take you to a couple of scriptures. The first is 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 in the Amplified Bible. I love this passage. This is also a good one for you to copy and put into your journal and to have with you everywhere you go. It says, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world." Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of the heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all of the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly supernatural sphere." My sweet friend, you have a very real enemy. You've got to know who your enemy is. Let me just give you a few attributes of the devil. These are taken from Strongman's His Name, What's His Game. And it says here that the devil is a liar. Okay, you guys, you're going to have to be on guard constantly for his lies. His lies have a part of truth, but then a twist to it. And he will come in with those lies that sound just like truth. And let me tell you, that can easily deceive us. He's a liar. He's a murderer. Now, you may say, "Cindy, I don't see him murdering anybody right in front of me." Let me tell you, he is one who will kill dreams. He is one who will kill relationships. He is constantly setting about to steal and to kill. You can know this about him. He's a murderer. He's a sower of discord. You guys, whenever you sense strife, I can promise you, where there is strife, there is the spirit of the enemy. It's alive and well. He has filtered his way into the home, into the relationship. When there's a lot of fighting and quarreling and strife and struggle, he is at the root of that. You've got to know it. He is an adversary. Have you ever felt like you were up against the wall? That you had everything against you? Hello, guess who it is? It's the enemy. He's cunning. See, the thing is, you won't even know he's in there until he's there. And really, if you are not very aware, you're going to think it's somebody else in there. It's kind of like the little kid tapping on your shoulder and then being gone. You're going to turn around. It's going to be something else you're looking at. He's very cunning. He would even love, like I mentioned earlier, he'd love for you to think it's God. He'd love for you to think it's your husband. He'd love for you to think it's your children. He'd love to let you think that it's the other woman. He'd love for you to think it's your in-laws. On and on and on. You know what I'm saying here? He's cunning. He is wicked. He has such an imagination for wickedness. He will bring it in places that you have never seen it. You didn't even see it coming because he is wicked. He's malignant, totally evil. He is cowardly. You know, the one thing you can know about him is he doesn't come right out and say, "Hey, this is the devil. We're going to fight right now." No. He's a coward. He loves to hit you and run. He loves to bombard you, and then he likes to cow down. He acts the victim. Do you know what I'm saying here? I wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, he would. He's a tempter. As a matter of fact, all of the things that we are tempted with, the enemy is the one tempting us, testing us, trying to see if we'll go for it. He sets those snares because he knows exactly the ones that we have a weakness to go towards. He's a tempter. He's a thief. You know, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your happiness. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal the love in your home. He wants to steal all of the things that mean anything to you. He's a thief. He's without principles. You know, again, what I was mentioning earlier about how we have the Geneva Convention with war and with all the different countries. If they don't go by the Geneva Convention, then they are in bigger trouble with the highest authorities. But we all have to go by the Geneva Convention, which teaches us how we are to be principled in warfare. There's always been a gentleman's war, a gentleman's way of war. And it may seem very, very difficult, but seriously, that Geneva Convention guards a lot of us. It guards our soldiers. It guards those who are even the soldiers for the enemy. But it is principled warfare. Now, can I tell you that the enemy, the devil, has no principles. He doesn't pull any punches. He hits where it hurts. He'll hit again and again and again. His only mindset is to defeat us, or to convince us that we're defeated. And he'll go to any lengths to get us there. He's proudful. He's deceitful. He's fierce and cruel. He's aggressive. And then you may think, oh my goodness, I just feel like there's just something coming in and pushing past my limits. That's the devil. He's aggressive. He's a destroyer. My sweet friend, you've got to know your enemy. You've got to know who he is. You've got to know his tactics. You've got to know his tools. You've got to know his attacks. And you've got to know that your enemy is not your husband. It's not your children. It's not your mom. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not even the other woman. You have a very real enemy. He hates you. He is out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your legacy. He wants nothing more than for you to take each other out by friendly fire. He knows your castle cannot stand when it's divided inside. My sweet friend, today, can I ask you, what are you going to do with this enemy? Are you going to see him for what he is? Are you going to see what he's about? Are you going to acknowledge that he is there? Because if not, I'm going to tell you, you can't go any further in this series. He will destroy you. You've got to know who he is. You've got to know how he works. You've got to know who your enemy is and who your enemy is not. You've got to get that down deep. I see people all the time who are fully convinced that every time that they stand up for what God tells them to stand up, when they move forward, that God is zapping them and testing them and trying them. And they wonder why they can't move forward. I see every day people who come to me and share with me, "Cindy, I'm having problems in my marriage." And they think that their enemy is that husband. They think that his spirituality is the problem. They think that his leadership is the problem. Can I tell you today, that is not your problem. You have an enemy who hates you. He hates your husband. He's a great magnifier because of things that will get you off track. And there's nothing quite like this. If you're thinking that your husband has to be perfect, or your husband has to be a certain way, he has to take certain leadership, he has to have a certain amount of spirituality, can I just tell you, you have got to know the enemy has got you, and he's got you good. Your husband's not your enemy. You've got to know that. Your child is not your enemy. The enemy wants nothing more than for you as a mother to turn your back on that child. I've seen it. Don't let them walk out that door. Don't let them go and not have that relationship with you, not have that tie. The enemy's very deceptive. He would love for them to be isolated away from family. He'll devour. My sweet friend, nothing is more important than that relationship with your child. Don't let the enemy steal them away. Don't let the enemy keep them in his camp. They're not your enemy. He is. My sweet friend, your enemy is not your mother-in-law. You know, I know you may differ from her. I know she may even make some poor choices. She may bomb. You know, can I tell you, I know I bomb every day. And, you know, we just mess up. You just say things you don't mean to say. You do things you don't mean to do. That's just part of being human. And I know that sometimes it can be really hard when it's somebody you want a close relationship with, or when it's somebody that you feel like should know better. If it helps any, can I tell you that I know right now I've never been this way before. I've never been a mother-in-law before. I've never been a mother of grown kids. I've had to tell my kids, "Hey, you guys, I've not been this way before." I had been a parent of a little bitty child, of a baby. I was a parent of little bitty children. I was a parent of elementary age children. I was a parent of teens. And by the time that my children became young adults, I realized this is going to be something that's going to keep me learning all the rest of my life. You have to learn how to be that parent, that adult child. They never, ever get to a place where they don't need a mom. And it's hard. It's really, really, really hard for moms. Can we give them grace? You know, I was just talking to my mother-in-law just the other day, and I just started crying. I told my husband about this afterwards, because she was talking about how much it meant to her to be able to text message. And she said, "You know, sometimes I just get to feeling so isolated and so alone, and it just feels like I can touch you guys across the miles." And that just broke me. Because the last thing on earth I'd ever want is for her to feel isolated and alone. And yet, you know, the enemy wants for us to let little things get in the way of those relationships. Because he doesn't want any of us having strong ties that bind our family together across the miles. He wants to divide us. He wants to isolate us. He wants to destroy the home. My sweet friend, know your enemy. Know who he is. You have a very real enemy. He hates you. He is out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your legacy. He will never leave you alone. Your castle must be fortified. You must build your home. You must protect your home. You must be armed for battle. You must fight the good fight. But you can't do that until you know your enemy. So who's your enemy? Do you know? Can you see him alive and well? Have you got your eye on him? Are you focused in? Is he in your crosshairs? You've got to know your enemy today. And that brings me to the next session. And we will pick back up with the next session, which is step up to your call. You guys, I'm ready to dig into this one. So, hey, let's take a break and let's get back on the air with Step Up to Your Call. I'll see you then. Bye.